Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Chulin Daf Kuf Ches. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the shiur. And even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. Today, we begin from the Mishnah on the upper part of Daf Kuf Ches. Before learning the Mishnah, let us glance at the topic heading that accompanies this. In the outside margin, we entitle topic headings by the word Nosei. We have written, Tipas Cholov, a drop of milk, Shenoflo al Chatichas Bosar, Besoch Kedera, that fell onto a piece of meat while in a pot. A pot that's, of course, hot and things are cooking in there. The Mishnah. Tipas Cholov Shenoflo al Hachaticha, a drop of milk that fell onto a piece of meat. Im Yesh Bo Benosein Tam Ba'oiso Chaticha, if there is a sufficient quantity of milk to impart a milky taste to that piece of meat onto which it fell, then osir. Then we have prohibition. Something is osir. At this point, we will not elaborate too much on what is considered osir, but by the drop of milk falling on the piece of meat, and the piece of meat is not large enough, let us say, to cancel the drop of milk, so an isser is created, prohibition is created. More will be said on this later. Nier esakdera, if he stirred the pot, im yesh bo benoisein tam beoiso kedera osir. We'll attempt to translate this, but once again, there is going to be an elaborate discussion on this point as well later in the Gemara. So in the meantime, we are going to say that if this drop of milk fell on a piece of meat and he stirred the pot, if the drop of milk is so large, is enough in size to impart a taste to the entire contents of the pot, so the entire pot, its contents will become usher. Now we turn to the Gemara. Before learning the Gemara, we have a topic heading on the outside margin. We've written here, a machloikas Abaye v'Rava, a controversy between Abaye and Rava will arise in this piece of Gemara, im ta'am bilvad oser min ha-Torah. The idea here is, does taste, in other words, or forbidden taste, create prohibition on a Torah level? Oy nechshav isur d'oraisa rak etzel boser b'cholov, or is forbidden taste considered a problem only with regard to the topic of boser b'cholov? But if you had, let us say, a piece of lobster that fell into a pot of kosher food, and it created a taste, a lobster taste, and you removed the lobster, there was no actual lobster, just taste in there, if you say that Tam Isser is limited to Boser B'cholov, then the example of the lobster would be a problem, but not a Torah-level prohibition. On the other hand, if you say, like the first way we suggested, that Tam Isser is a problem on a Torah level across the boards, so in the example of the lobster, that pot would be forbidden even on a Torah level. Turning to the Gemara, Omar Abaye, Ta'amoy v'lo mamasho. The idea of taste, even though there is no actual substance that is forbidden, be'almo, in general, meaning beyond the realm of Boser B'cholov, in general, de'oraisa, is a Torah-level problem. Once again, forbidden taste that comes from a forbidden substance. The taste that comes, that's imparted by a forbidden substance, that imparting of taste alone into the pot, into the food, is a Torah prohibition, creates a Torah-level prohibition. De'i salka daitoch derabonan, if you were to say that this realm of taste creating a prohibition is a rabbinic prohibition, says Abaye, mi bosar b'cholav maitaima lo gamrinan, why is it that we wouldn't use the case of bosar b'cholav as a precedent? In other words, the classic case of bosar b'cholav is a taste issue, where a piece of meat fell into milk, you pull and was cooked in the milk, you pulled out the piece of meat, there's no, what you have in the meat, after all is said and done, you have a milk taste, you don't have actual milk present, you have a milky taste. We know that bosar b'cholav is usur, based on taste. However, if you're saying that tav lo mamashu in general is only an issur d'rabbanan, we're basically saying we do not learn from bosar b'cholav. Well, why not? D'chidushu, because it is something novel, it's something unusual. The Torah is usuring something that in general would not be usur, so that is considered a chidush. Well, e chidush hu, if bosar b'cholav in fact is what you call something novel, then af al gav deleko no sein tam nami. Then there should be a prohibition on the combination of milk and meat, even if there is no taste imparted from one into the other. So Abaye is pointing out, by the fact that the din of bosar b'cholav is dependent on a taste factor, that shows us that we're not viewing bosar b'cholav as a chidush, as something unusual, and therefore, as Rashi says, we are able to learn the concept of imparting of usur taste from the case of the Zroa B'Shela, which is a topic we've discussed in the past, and extend that to all areas of prohibition, of all areas, all food areas, and not limited to Bosar B'cholav. So as far as Abaye is concerned, the concept of Tamo V'lo Mamosho is a Torah problem, and is not limited to Bosar B'cholav. Because had it been limited to Bosar B'cholav, then in the case of Bosar B'cholav, even if there would have been no taste, in other words, you would have had, let's say, such a large amount of one, when you have a mixture of Bosar B'cholav, one over the other, where no taste would have been left, and still there should have been a prohibition. And yet that's not the case. Omar lei Rava. Rava disagrees with Abaye. Rava tells us that Tamo v'lamamosho, in fact, is derabonan. And as far as Bosar B'cholav is concerned, you might ask, then why is it that taste is of concern, and if there's no taste, there would be no problem? After all, if it's a chidush, if it's a novel idea, then the mere fact that Bosar was cooked in Cholav would be enough of a problem, even if there's no taste issue, the fact that it merely was cooked together. So Rava says that is not the case, because derech bishul osra Torah. When the Torah refers to Bosar B'cholav, it talks about it all the time in terms of cooking. As we've mentioned on a previous occasion, the Torah in introducing Bosar B'cholav, it uses the pasuk lo sevashel gidi b'chalev imo. And since the Torah refers to this isser as an isser of cooking, even though we know that it's extended beyond mere cooking, but since the Torah talks in terms of cooking, the Torah is basically saying if there is taste, because cooking is designed to create or permeate taste throughout that which is being cooked. So therefore, basically, Rava says Bosar B'cholav is a chiddush, and the fact that we are insistent on taste, the taste of one in the other, before we can talk about it being usur, that's because the Torah describes Bosar B'cholav in cooking terms. Now, we go on in the Gemara with a comment of Rav, and Rav is going to explain the Mishnah the Mishnah had mentioned that if a drop of milk falls on a piece of meat in a cooking pot, the Mishnah had said if there was a if it was capable of imparting taste into that piece, so then there is Isser. And we were careful in learning the Mishnah not to explain what becomes Usser. Omar Rav, Kevon Shenosan Tam Bachaticha. Once that drop of milk falls onto a piece of meat and is capable of imparting a milky taste into that piece, into that one piece that it fell onto, Chaticha Atzmo Nasis Nevela. That piece of meat becomes an entity of prohibition. The term that the Gemara uses for that is nevela. Just like in the Torah we know nevela is a forbidden substance, this piece of meat becomes an entirety, a unit of forbidden substance. And as such, the oiseres call hachatichos kulon mipnei shehein mina. This now newly forbidden piece of meat will aser all of the other pieces of meat in the pot, regardless of the number of pieces. And that is because we have a min bimino mixture, a mixture of like substances. They're all meat. You have a forbidden meat now, newly forbidden meat, because of the drop of milk that got absorbed into it, and all the other pieces as well, the other kosher pieces. So, since you have one forbidden piece amongst other kosher pieces, and it's a min bimino mixture, Rav adopts the opinion of Rebbe Yehuda, who says, min bimino eino botel. Omar le marzutra reider of Mori le Ravina. We have now a question. You can see we have this noted as a long question marking up to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara. You see the encircled letter with the vertical dashed line indicating that we have a question. Omar le marzutra brei d'Rav Mori l'Ravina. Michti. Let us look into this. Rav keman Omar l'shmaitse. Rav said his law according to whom? According to which Tanaic opinion is Rav addressing this issue? Kerebi Yehuda. He is basing himself on Rebbe Yehuda. Tiomar min bimino lo botil. When you have a mixture of like substances, so there is no bitol. Well, in light of that background, so lemo pligo a de rova. Should we say that Rav is at odds with Rava? Because Rava, in this kind of situation, as we will see very shortly, Rava does allow for bittul. The Omar Rava, Kosova Rabbi Yehuda, and Rava himself also says a point of law within Rabbi Yehuda, who says, Kol shu min umino v'dover achir. When you have a pot of food, and in that pot you have a forbidden substance, and you have other forbidden and you have other substances that are like it but are allowed, and you have another outside substance. So imagine you have a pot that has meat in it. One piece is forbidden, many other allowed pieces, and dover acher, you have, let us say, gravy. Gravy is made of water and spices. Rava says when you have a pot like that, salek es mino kemi she'eno, you would, in your mind's eye, exclude or take out all of the heter pieces of meat. That means, again, salek es mino, remove the kosher-like substances that are, when we say like, that are similar to the unkosher unit. Kemi she'eno, as if they're not there. V'she'eno mino, and in this case, the gravy. Rava alav will overrule or outnumber in terms of quantity the one forbidden piece. Umevatlo, and will cancel it. So that as far as Rava is concerned, if you have a pot of meat, lots of pieces of meat, cooking up with one forbidden piece, and we had an example of the forbidden piece, the piece that the drop of milk fell on, And you have the you have a gravy in there as well. As far as Rav is concerned, the forbidden piece would not pose a problem. The forbidden piece would be canceled, would be overwhelmed by the what's called the eino mino, the gravy in that pot. And yet Rav seemed to say that the whole pot is forbidden. So should we say that Rav is at odds, is against Rava? Omar Lay. So Ravina answers the question. The question was posed to him by Mar Zitra. Ravina answers, E denofal beroitev raka hochinami. If the situation that Rav had described was a case of the drop of milk fell onto a piece of meat that was cooking up in a pot with other pieces of meat and a loose type gravy, liquidy type gravy, that's roitev raka, a liquidy type gravy, then hochinami, then like Rava, then Rav would agree with Rava. The liquidy gravy is basically a non-meat environment. It's water, it's spices, it's other substances. So that can be viewed easily as called an eino mino. So it's basically viewed as a min b'she'eino mixture, min b'she'eino mino, and because we're viewing the other pieces of meat as if they're not there, and there would be cancellation. The forbidden, the small quantity of forbidden would be overwhelmed, overruled by the large amount of heter gravy. However, Rav was talking about a different case. Hochebe Mayaskin, Rav's case where the one newly forbidden piece, we said, asers the rest of the pot, denofal beroitev ova, the piece of meat that became usser, the drop of milk fell onto a piece of meat in a thick gravy environment. The thick gravy is considered meat itself. So you don't have the scenario that Rava described of min v'mino v'she'eino mino. You don't have an eino mino situation. As a result, it's a straightforward min v'mino mixture, and Rav, being that he is based on Rebbe Yehuda, Rav says that the drop of milk that fell onto the piece of meat makes that piece of meat now usser meat, forbidden meat. The rest of the pot with its thick gravy is considered heter meat. So it's meat and meat. That's called min b'mino. And based on Shita's Rebuta that Rav is following, min b'mino, eino batel. There is no cancellation. There is no voiding of the prohibited substance, and the whole pot is usser. The Gemara now continues in now analyzing this scenario, and we have used a very abbreviated topic to accompany this sugya. The topic heading we've labeled simply as Efsher Lesochato. This itself incorporates quite a bit of explanation that we will leave to the Gemara to present. Literally, though, Efsher Lesochato means the possibility of something being squeezed out. We described a piece of milk, a drop of milk that fell onto a piece of meat. The piece of meat, sort of acting like a sponge, absorbed the drop of milk. We said up till now that the piece of meat becomes forbidden, and as such, it now is a forbidden piece of meat amongst heter pieces of meat. One may have raised another type of analysis that would say, well, when the drop of milk fell into the piece of meat, since one in theory, of course, one in theory could squeeze out the piece of meat, and that drop of milk that we said causes a problem, actually it enters the meat and now comes out, like you squeeze an absorbed sponge. The substance in the sponge is squeezed out and now comes out, and the sponge is now almost dry, basically dry. So if we were to say Efsher Lesochato, something that could be squeezed out, and then that drop would be distributed amongst all the other pieces together, there would certainly be, in the scenario we're describing, enough quantity-wise, pieces of meat to cancel that one drop of milk. It may be so that the original piece of meat was not large enough to cancel the taste of that original drop, but if you were to distribute that drop amongst all the other pieces as a result of our squeezing out that drop and then having it redistributed amongst all the other pieces, one could have said efshar lesochato mutter. It would seem from and we should also add that if you say that, if you adopt that approach, then even the original piece that absorbed the milk would be mutter. Based on what we have learned already with regard to Shitas Rav, it would seem that when it comes to Efshar Lesochato, he will say Osir. That even though in your mind's eye you could have squeezed out this piece of meat and the drop would have been redistributed amongst the whole pot, Rav doesn't look at things that way. So this is the sugya now that we call Efshar Lesochato, and now back into the Gemara. Umay kosovar. What does Rav hold with regard to this topic of efshur lesochato? I kosovar efshur lesochato mutter. If he would adopt that approach, that something that in theory could be squeezed out and redistributed, chaticho amai nasis nevelo, then the original piece, why would you say it becomes prohibited? Once you entertain this possibility of the original drop being squeezed out of that original piece of meat, so it would then, turn the page back to the beginning, and even the original piece should not be considered also. The meat, the drop went in, the drop comes out, and is then redistributed amongst all the pieces. Why would you say the original piece becomes forbidden? But Rav said the original piece that on which the drop landed does become forbidden. Elo kosavar, rather, it must be that Rav holds efshur lesochato osir. Let us look in the Rashi for some more elaboration on this. We're looking at the Rashi toward the bottom of the page, in the middle of the widest lines. Umay kosavar Rav efshur lesochato. What does Rav hold regarding this topic of can be squeezed out? Beisur shenivla beheter venosan botam. The osro, in a case of something forbidden that got absorbed in something allowed, imparted a taste, thereby making it forbidden. The chozer ubishel haheter azeh im heter acher, and then this piece that was originally mutter that absorbed some forbidden taste was then cooked with other heter pieces, other allowed pieces. Sheefsher ho iser hanivla bozeh lisochet mimenu v'lechalek beheter haacheron, and in your mind's eye, the piece that became usur could be squeezed out, and that usur then would be redistributed amongst the other heter that it later encountered. The ainbo kishul esur sachron, the original drop or original thing that caused the first piece to become usur, doesn't have a sufficient quantity to impart a taste to all the other latter pieces that were cooked together with it. So e kosavar huter gam horishon b'nei shenifla ruisur mimenu. If Rav were to hold that the original piece actually becomes mutter because the prohibited substance got cast out as a result of our saying efshur lesochato, it's true, Rashi says, l'chadchila, you shouldn't do this. You shouldn't take a piece that became usur and then cook it with others in the anticipation of turning the clock back to make it mutter. Shein mevatlin iser lechatchila. We don't cancel that which is prohibited at the outset. Umiu di'evet. However, if it happened to fall into a pot of other mutter pieces, shari le'echol afarishon, it would be, if he were to hold that this is mutter, so you would be allowed to eat the first piece as well. So Rashi says, goes on to explain the Gemara, amai chatichon asis nevela. Why did Rav say that original piece onto which the drop of milk becomes a piece of that which is prohibited? The milk that was absorbed in there could be squeezed out by its being cooked with others and redistributed. And we shouldn't say that anything is also until the drop of milk was capable of imparting a taste to all of the pieces. It's not likely that we would say that it goes from one piece into one other piece. They're all equal candidates. Which should you ask and which should you forbid for permit? Therefore, since you can't choose one over the other, if we were to say that the Efshur Lishot, then all of the pieces would cancel this original drop. Yet Rav says that the original piece becomes Usur. And when he says that, it's a statement of finality. It's Usur, and that's it. It doesn't become Mutter. Elokosovar Mishinesra Chaticha, Rav therefore holds, Rashi goes on to say, when the original piece upon which the milk fell becomes Usur, Shuv Ein Lo Heter B'Schita. It doesn't achieve a status of permission anymore through this squeezing out. V'Ashminen, and he informs us, Afa Heter Shebo Nasa Isur, and even the rest of the meat in onto which this drop of milk fell becomes prohibited. As a result of that, so the one piece that became usur now is a much bigger piece than the mere drop that originally fell onto it, and that big piece creates a much greater challenge, so to speak, to all the other things that are in its environment. So we have described Rav by Rav having said that Chatichas Monasis Nevela, he apparently is of the opinion that the Isser that got absorbed, in this case the milk that got absorbed into that original piece, stays there. Because if it would have come out as a result of applying this concept of Efshur Lesochato, so then the original piece wouldn't be Nevela, it would be Mutter. The Gemara goes on presenting numerous other opinions, other names on this topic. The Itmar, Rav, Reb Chanina, Reb Yochanan. We've underlined these three rabbis together. The Amri, this collection, this rabbinic collection holds Efshur Lesochato Usur. That even though something may be able to be squeezed out in your mind's eye, they say we don't view it that way. Shmuel of Rabbi Shimon bar Rebbe v'Reish Lakish, another three great Rabbonim, say, the Amri, they say otherwise, Efshur Lesochato Mutter, that they do follow this suggestion, that if a forbidden substance got absorbed into a heter substance, and then that heter substance found itself with other heter pieces, with other allowed pieces, the original prohibited substance would be said to be squeezed out of the original piece it fell into and redistributed amongst all the rest, and there would be enough in the rest of the pieces, enough to overwhelm and cancel and void that original amount of prohibited substance. The Gemara now raises a question, and this is we have this listed as a long question marking in our markings. You can see the vertical, the kufets encircled to the immediate right hand side of the Gemara with a vertical dashed line, which continues to the top of Amud Beis, challenges our presentation of Rav. V'sova Rav Efshur Lesochato Usur. Does Rav really hold this way, adopting this stringent approach? Well, v'ho itmar, we have the following case. Kizayas Basur Shinofa Latoch Yorish Cholov, an olive quantity of meat that fell into a pot of milk, and it's cooking up. Omar Rav Basur Asur V'Cholov Mutter. Now we've dashed underlined Cholov Mutter because this is the source of our question. Rav says that the piece of meat itself that got absorbed with the milky taste, that is forbidden. However, the milk, the rest of the milk, is allowed. In other words, as far as Rav is concerned, you pull out the piece of meat and drink the milk in the pot. V'i salka daitoch efshur lesochato usur. If you were to adopt this opinion that Efshur L'Sochato is prohibited, then Cholov Amai Mutter, why is the milk in the pot, the milk, the rest of the milk in the pot considered Mutter? Cholov Nevelahu. Now, to understand this, we must learn the Rashi at the top. Cholov Amai Mutter. Hare Cholov Me'at Shenivla Babosar. The little bit of meat that, the little bit of milk that got absorbed into the meat, Nase Nevela. That now becomes Osir milk. Share Ne'esar. Well, it became the milk that's absorbed in the meat is forbidden because it's cooked in this meat. It's meat and milk. Ukshechozer v'niflat b'shar hacholov, and as it continues cooking in this pot, so it is exuded from the piece of meat. The milk that was absorbed is then exuded while the cooking process is taking place. Havile min b'mino cholov osir b'cholov heter. You now have, in effect, a mixture of the milk that was absorbed in the meat and getting exuded from it, mixing with the rest of the milk in the pot. That's milk and milk. Milk that's prohibited with milk that was allowed. For Rav Islay, min b'mino lo batil, and Rav is of the opinion that like substances, one being usur, the rest being mutter, there is no cancellation, and the whole thing is rendered unfit. Rashi goes on, cholov nevelahu, ze shenivla v'nishat. The cholov nevela means it's the cholov that was absorbed into that piece of meat that is exuded during the cooking process becomes forbidden milk. And yet, Rav is saying that the milk is mutter. So it must be that Rav is in effect telling us that Efshur L'Sochato does not create, that in and of itself does not create prohibition. So that the milk that got absorbed into the piece of meat, so that even though it became usur, Rav seems to say by the fact that that it's not viewed as a min bamino problem, that original milk is in effect not viewed as becoming nevela. The Gemara answers, and we have triangles here that you can see, one over here and a few lines later another one. We look at our Mivneh heading on the outside margin. These are Tshuvos, answers, La She'elo Shikshenu Al Rav Shesover Efshel Sochato Asur. These are answers to the question that we raised on Rav, who supposedly holds Efshel Sochato Asur. The Oilom Kosova Rav Efshel Lesochato Asur. In general, Rav will say that even though something that is forbidden that got absorbed into something that was allowed could be, and even though it could have been squeezed out and redistributed, that does not take place in our mind's eye, and hence Efshur L'Sochato Osir. The question is, why is Rav saying here that the milk, the rest of the milk in the pot is mutter? V'shaini hosam, this case of piece of meat falling into pot of milk is different. D'omar kro, the pasuk says lo sevasha gedi b'chalev imo. That's the pasuk that warns against milk and meat. And from this we are going to learn gedi osro tura v'lo cholov. The focus of the pasuk is on the gedi, on the goat, or on the meat, and not the milk. And what we're saying right now, this will be changed, though, is that when we talk about milk and meat, the Torah is telling us that the meat becomes forbidden and not the milk. If we look at Rashi, Gedi Osru Torah V'lo Cholov, Rashi says, V'afilu Cholov Mutter. The milk is allowed. V'afilu Hoyo B'Bosu Shir Godol Oseis Tam B'Bosu B'Chol HaCholov. And Rashi is going, in explaining this, he's going way out on a limb and saying that even if it was a large piece of meat that fell into a pot of milk, large enough to impart a meaty taste to the rest of the milk would be allowed. Svirulei Nami L'Rav, the Cholov Mutter. Well, the Gemara asks now on this. V'sovar Rav Gedi Osro Tor V'locholov. Now we're challenging this answer. And we've labeled this as well a long question. And you can see that the kuf that's encircled, the kushya, represented by the letter kuf and the vertical descending dashed line to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara, raises a question. All of these lines are a question. V'sovar Rav Gedi Osro Tor V'locholov. Does Rav really hold such a thing that the Torah in the parsha of Bosubholov says only the meat is also and not the milk? V'ho itmar, but it has been said, chatzi zayas bosur v'chatzi zayas cholov, a half olive quantity of meat and a half olive quantity of milk, shebishlon zeh im zeh, that you cooked them together. Omar, Rav loike al achilos v'eino loike al bishilo. Rav says that there is lashing applied as a punishment for one who eats this. However, there is no lashing for one who, for the cooking up of these two chatzizesim together. Now, we see that Rav says there's lashing for the eating. If, as was suggested, Rav holds that only the meat is osur and not the cholov, well, a'achila amai loike, chatzi shiurhu. Why on the eating is there lashing? After all, what did we describe? A half olive quantity of meat and a similar quantity of milk. The milk being allowed. So how much forbidden quantity of food is there? Well, you only have a half olive quantity of meat that is problematic. But a chatzi zayas is under the minimum amount to warrant a punishment. So why would there be lashings for eating that? That's called chatzi shir. Chatzi means half the quantity, half the minimum quantity for punishment. Ela. Li'oilom kosova rav cholov nami osir. What we have to deal with right now is that Rav basically holds Efshir Lesochato Osir. Rav is now saying that the milk is also subject to becoming forbidden by it being cooked together with meat. If that be the case, then why does Rav say in the case of the piece of meat that fell into a pot of milk that the milk is mutter? The hocha b'mayaskinon, and here what are we talking about? Kegoin shenofal l'soich yoyre roisachas. The piece of meat fell into a boiling pot of milk. Demivla bola miflat lo polat. The nature of a boiling pot is that the meat that falls into it absorbs, but it doesn't exude. As the cooking continues, as the bubbling and cooking and boiling take place, there is no exusion. The Gemara asks, and as a result of there not being any exusion, so what was presented as a problem earlier is not a problem. What was presented earlier as the problem? The milk that got absorbed into the piece of meat. If Rav really holds Efshel Sochato as Usser, then that meat, the milk that got absorbed into that piece of meat, becomes Usser milk. Like we said, Chaticha Nasis Nevela, in that case we say the milk was Nasis Nevela, and it then gets exuded into the rest of the milk, and we said above, well, that would have been a min bimino mixture of min of Isser with a min of Heter. Like substances, one also one forbidden and one allowed, and in such a case, Rav says there's no cancellation. So then, why is the milk allowed? So we're answering right now because there is no exusion of the osur milk. That's it. Gets mivla bola. It got absorbed, and since it's a boiling pot, miflat lo polat, it doesn't become exuded. The Gemara asks, but self. Kinaya chodapolit, when the at the end of things, however, when the boiling ceases, nayach means literally rests, when it comes to finishing the boiling and it simmers down, chodapolit, then there will be exusion. So how come the milk is allowed? The Gemara answers, kishakidam vesilko. he removed the piece of meat that fell into the milk while the boiling was still taking place. So it's on this technicality that the milk is allowed. The rest of the milk in the pot is allowed. However, if you would let it simmer down while the piece of meat with its absorbed milk stayed in there, as a result of holding Efshur L'Sochot HaOsur, we're in a sense saying, or in effect saying, that the absorbed milk becomes Nevela. That's what we said before, Chaticha Nasis Nevela, and it's mixing with the rest of the milk in a simmered down pot would cause all the rest of the milk to become forbidden based on a mixture of Min Bamino, the Osur milk that's exuded now into the rest of the Heter milk, and according to Rav, holding like Shitas Rebuta, Min Bamino, Osur. We look at the side of our Gemara, we have a topic heading, Chatzizai is Boser, V'chatzizai is Cholov, Shebishlon Zeim Zeh. We're now going to look into the case that was featured as part of the question raised above. We're now going to focus on it on its own. And that is introduced by the term Gufa. Gufa. Chatzizai is Boser, V'chatzizai is Cholov, Shebishlon Zeim Zeh. A half olive quantity of meat that was cooked together with a half olive quantity of milk. Omar Rav, loikal achiloso v'eino loikal bishulo. There is lashing for the eating, no lashing for cooking them together. In general, just by way of background, when we come to the Isser of Bosor v'Cholov, the Torah had mentioned three times, lo sevasho gedi b'chalei v'imo. And from that repetition, we learn, the Chazal learn, there's a prohibition of eating Bosor v'Cholov, a prohibition of Hanov benefiting from it, and a prohibition in actually preparing it and cooking them together. However, here we have something that seems surprising. You're taking this chatzizayis boser chatzizayis cholov, cooking them together. There is a violation if one eats it, but no violation for cooking it. So to this we ask monofshach. Either way you look at things, this is not understandable. E mitstarfin, if they join together to create a full olive quantity, which would explain why there is malkos for the eating, well, abishal nami luki, there should be lashing for the cooking, because you've cooked a forbidden quantity. E lo mitstarfin, if the two half olive quantities, since they are starting off as two undersized amounts, so lo mitzdarfin, if you say they don't join up, which would explain why there's no malchus for the bishul, for the cooking, then a'achila nami lo milki, then for the eating as well, there should be no lashing, because they don't join up. Le'oilom loy mitzdarfi, we will tell you that they don't join up. And therefore, we understand why there's no malchus for the cooking. Because you are cooking two undersized amounts. Chatzizayis boser with a chatzizayis cholov, and the Torah doesn't warn against half amounts. The question then is, why will there be malkos on the achila? Because that is a reference to another case. Ubebo miyoira gedoyla. That's a case where a full kezayis of meat was cooking in a pot full of milk. No undersized amounts. And what he did was he took from the Yorah Gedoyla, he took a Chatzi Zayas of Basar and a Chatzi Zayas of Cholov, which once again have both become Osir. They were initially Osir because they were prepared together as full quantity. And now you have you've combined Chatzi Zayas of each one that had already become Osir, and therefore you're eating a full quantity of Boser B'cholov, and that's why there's Malkus for the eating. V'Levi Omar, Af Loike Al Bishulo. Levi is stricter than Rav, and says that for the cooking of Chatzizayis Boser and a Chatzizayis of Cholov, there is Malkus. V'chein Toni Levi b'Masnisa, and Levi, who was an author of Tanaic literature of Brises, he included his opinion in his Brisa. And Brises, as being Tanaic literature, we treat them as we do Mishnayos and put frames around them in our markings. Kishem shaloika al achiloso, kach loika al bishulo. Levi's brisa parallels the eating and the cooking. So just like there's malchus for one, there's malchus for the other. Ube'e ze bishul omru. When we talk about bishul boser b'cholov as creating a prohibition, what level of cooking? Answer, b'bishul shachirim oichlin oisoi machmas bishulo. It's a level of cooking that would enable others, even Gentiles, to eat it. In other words, as Rashi says, it simply means it's nizbashel kol tzorcho, it was completely cooked. It's a complete cooking that creates the prohibition of meat and milk cooked together. I would like to, at this point, look at a Rashi for just as a sense of review of something we read already in the Gemara. Rashi le'olam lo mitzdarfi, in understanding Rav's shita of loika al achiloso ve'ena loika al bishulo, Rashi elaborates. Rashi says, lo'olam lo mitzdarfi, lasus iser, you don't have a combination of things to create prohibition, elayim kein oy abo betchilo kishiur, unless at the outset there were full quantities. And when Rav says that there is lashing for the eating of what we said, the amounts came from what was originally a large pot full of these of milk and meat. And Rav's comment that we said loikal chiloso, and we call that aleph before, and beis v'ein olag mishulo, really two separate comments. They're not two sides of the same coin. They're two separate cases. That's ulitzdodin. Sad means side. Each comment is to be pulled apart from one another, each on a separate side, so to speak. As Rashi goes on to say, Ochal chatzi zayis boser v'chatzi zayis cholov habom yuri gedoylo. If one ate a half olive quantity of meat and a half olive quantity of milk that came from a large pot, in which in this large pot there was a full quantity of each one cooked together with the other, then loike al achiloso. There will be lashing for the consumption of chatzi zayis boser v'chatzi zayis cholov shochal shiur sholem. Isser shel shem echad. He ate a complete amount, because that half zayas of meat, in effect, is a meat of boser b'cholov. The half zayas of cholov that's there is also a half zayas of boser b'cholov. So two half quantities of the same entity join up. However, v'ein loike al bishulo. This is really a reference to a different case. If he cooked up initially a half zayas of boser with a half zayas of cholov, one with the other, there is no lashing for eating that. They don't join up and depart their original status of allowedness, of permissibility, until you have a sufficient amount for each element, the meat element, to become usher in and of itself. Would mean a full kezias of meat would become usher absorbing milk into it. And likewise, a full kezias of milk would become usher having meat cooked in it. But two half olive quantities do not join up. Now we turn back to the Gemara. And we continue in the topic of Efsher Lesochoto, this realm of Isser, prohibition, prohibited item getting absorbed into Heter. How do we look at it? Do we look at the fact that it could have been squeezed out and redistributed amongst the rest of the elements as being a redeeming feature or not? The Gemara goes on to make a long point, and it says, "Ve'efshel l'sochato atzmo tanoi hi." This issue is a machlokes tanoim. We have listed on the side, at the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, a nun, which represents a nekuda, a point with a vertical dashed line. And this is, you'll notice, if you have kuf tes available, you'll see it. This continues clear down, almost halfway down, kuf tes omed aleph. It's one long point. And the point is that the topic of Efshel Sochoto appears to be a Tanaic controversy. We also have a note to pay attention to the diamonds that appear. These diamonds represent the highlighting of each side or each Tanaic opinion. It takes a while for the Gemara to develop each one, but when they come up, you'll see how each one is stated. That, like, therefore, at the bottom line of our Gemara, we have a diamond, and it's a point at which the Gemara concludes Kosovar that he is of the opinion that we will be discussing, Efshir Lesochato Aser. When we get to Kuf Tes Omer Aleph, almost halfway down, you will see there another conclusion reached regarding another opinion, Alma Kosavri. They, in this case the Rabbonan, hold Efshir Lesochato Mutter. So we've highlighted the two conclusions regarding these opinions. When we say two conclusions, we really mean the two opinions and their respective conclusions. So now, the Gemara. The Gemara, reading this line again, the Efshir Lesochato Asmo, the issue concerning Efshir Lesochato, possibility of something being squeezed out and redistributed itself, is Tanoyim, Machlokis Tanoyim. Desanya, the Tanaic source that appears, as you can see in a frame, contains in it the opinions of Rebbe Yehuda and the Chachomim, and Rebbe then enters the picture at the end to offer his approach to these two earlier Tanaic opinions. The source begins, Tipas cholav shenoflo al hachaticha, a drop of milk that fell onto a piece of meat. This is similar to the way our Mishnah presented the issue as well. The drop of milk having fallen onto a piece of meat, kivan shenosno tam b'chaticha, once it imparts a taste into that piece of meat, hachaticha atzmo nasis nevela, the piece onto which the drop of milk fell becomes a forbidden piece of meat now. And it will create prohibition regarding all the other pieces of meat in that pot, because they are all meat. They're all one type of substance. And this is called a min bimino mixture, divrei Rebbe Yehuda. And this is in accordance with Rebbe Yehuda. Once again, why is it called min bimino? Because at the point that the original piece of meat absorbed the drop of milk that imparted a milky taste to that piece of meat, it's now called usur meat, forbidden meat. And it's forbidden meat with allowed meat, so it's meat and meat, min bimino. And Rebbe Yehuda is of the opinion that like substances, when one of them is prohibited, cannot be the prohibited substance cannot be canceled or overwhelmed by the other similar allowed substances. V'chachomim oimrim ad shetitein tam beroitev uvekipa uvechatichos. The chachomim say that there is no prohibition as a result of this drop of milk unless it is capable of imparting taste into the gravy, into the meat fragments, the kippah, or the little pieces of meat that settle to the bottom of the pot, and the other pieces as well. Let us glance at the Rashi on the line right under the Gemara text. The thought right now is the atipo kaimi, that the chachamim are focusing on the drop of milk, ashe bo kedei litein tam bekulam, until the drop of milk is capable of imparting milky taste to the rest. Ein kan iser afilu b'chaticha rishona, there is no prohibition even with regard to the first piece, that nei shu chozer v'nischat, because in our mind's eye, that first piece that absorbed it became squeezed out afterwards, and hence the milk got redistributed. When you notice in Rashi the expression kosaka daitoch, one has to be on edge or wary that what is being explained is something that will be changed later on. So let us continue in the Gemara. In the Tanaic source, we have Omar Rebbe. Rebbe says, Nirin divrei Rebuda, b'shelo nir v'shelo kisa. At this point, we can't explain what Rebbe is saying, that is the job of the Gemara. All we can say is that Rebbe is siding with Rebbe Yehuda under certain circumstances. B'shalonir means he didn't stir, v'shalokis, he didn't cover the pot. V'divrei chachamim b'shenir v'kisa. And Rebbe will approve of the chachamim approach. The chachamim approach was an approach of leniency if there was stirring and covering. My lonir v'lokisa. What is meant by that expression? Rebbe said, I will go with Rebbe Yehuda's opinion of stringency, that the drop of milk that fell onto one piece creates a problem for the entire pot under circumstances that there was no stirring nor any covering. Before going further, stirring, everyone can imagine what that is. Covering a pot, what happens when a pot is covered, the heat, the interior heat level increases significantly, and the entire contents of the pot starts to boil in a rapid fashion, in a strengthened or heightened fashion, so that there's a complete turnover, that which is on the bottom eventually, because of the boiling process, this increased boiling process gets mixed up and rises to the top, and that which is on top goes to the bottom, as anyone can imagine in such a situation of an intense boiling. That's what happens with kisa, with covering a pot. Stirring, of course, accomplishes the same thing, but that's because of the human intervention in stirring the pot. In the meantime, though, we want to analyze. Rebbe says that he approves of Reb Yehuda's strict approach if lo nir v'lo kisa. So the Gemara says, what do you mean by that? E lema lo nir klal v'lo kisa klal. If you're talking about a pot that was not stirred at all or was not covered at all, and we have a drop of milk falling on a piece of meat, obviously it's a piece of meat on the surface of the pot, and the milk gets absorbed into that piece. Well, if there's no stirring nor covering, mivla bola, mivla lo polat, there is absorption, albeit into that piece, but there's no exusion, any further exusion. And as a result of that, why would Reb Yehuda say that all the other pieces become usser? The problem will be localized if it's lo nir v'lo kisa. V'ela. Rather, we have to explain the expression of lo nir v'lo kisa means lo nir b'tchila ela b'sof, that there was no initial stirring. In other words, there was an opportunity for the piece of meat to absorb the drop of milk, but there was stirring afterwards. And likewise, there wasn't any initial covering enabling the piece of meat to become usser, the drop getting absorbed into the initial piece. But after that, the pot was then covered, causing everything to get mixed up one with the other and to enable this plata, miflat polat is exusion, to take place. So let us read the Gemara again. The Ela, we're reading three lines from the bottom. The Ela, lo nir b'tchila b'sof, v'lo kisa b'tchila b'sof. So we are saying that in effect there was a stirring or there was covering. Well then, amai, why is it then that all the other pieces become usser? Ha bola v'ha polat. Well, there was absorption, and then there was exusion. So whatever went in then came out. So the Gemara answers, well, you see from here, kosovar, efshir l'sochato aser. You see from this very point that there was initial absorption, then there was a stirring, but what comes out afterwards is really iser that comes out. And that once there's initial absorption that creates iser, it remains usser. And we don't say that by the this squeezing out idea, Efshel Lesochoto, we don't say that it enables you to turn back to the beginning, so to speak, and that the original drop goes in and out and is redistributed. Not the case, according to this approach. So Rashi, let us see how he explains this toward the bottom. Kosovar Efshel Lesochoto Aser, Mitnei Shekula Nasis Iser, because the first, that piece into which the drop of milk initially got absorbed becomes an entire piece of prohibition right now. And the drop loses its identity as a singular drop, but rather fuses together with the piece of meat it fell into, and the whole unit becomes osir, v'chol ha-nishat mimeno, and anything that comes out now, osir. V'chol ha-nishar bo, osir. And anything that remains in it is also forbidden. V'kevon sha'af tam bosur shebo nesar. And since the meat taste that's in this is osir, choser v'osir acheros, it then osirs the rest of them. Afilein elef demin b'mino lo bot. Even if there are 1,000 other pieces, because the this is now a piece of meat, its meat taste that it has is a taste of usher meat because of the milk that was absorbed into it. Well, that having been said, we can therefore say that we see that Shitas Rebbe Yehuda is Efshel Lesochato usher Michlal, from the fact that Rebbe said, I like Rebbe Yehuda's opinion of stringency in under these circumstances. From that it implies that there are other circumstances that Rebbe Yehuda says his opinion that Rebbe himself wouldn't agree with. But nevertheless, Rebbe Yehuda has his own opinion. So the Gemara will point out now, Michlal de Rebbe Yehuda Savar, we can infer from this that Rebbe Yehuda himself will hold, Kinir mitchilo viad sov, v'kiso mitchilo viad sov, osir. That even where the stirring was taking place from the very beginning, or the covering was taking place from the very beginning, everything is usher. Well, am I? If that really is so, why should everything be usher? Holo bola klal. There was not a chance for any initial absorption. Once again, if we're inferring from Rebbe what Rebbe Yehuda's own opinion is, it comes out that Rebbe Yehuda holds there's an isser across the boards, even if there is stirring from the very beginning. After all, Rebbe said, I like Rebbe Yehuda's opinion if there was no initial stirring. But what about if there is initial stirring? Well, there I don't like Rebbe Yehuda's opinion. So what's Rebbe Yehuda's opinion? He says there's usser even then. There's an isser, there's a prohibition even then. But why? There was no chance for absorption. As soon as the drop of milk fell on, he stirred it. He stirred it all up, so it didn't really get absorbed in the first piece. The Gemara answers, Emo lo nier yofe yofe. Rebbe Yehuda is gozer. He has a stringency. And he says, listen, whenever a drop of milk falls on a piece of meat, I'm going to suspect that maybe it wasn't a thorough initial stirring. Velo kisa yofa yofa. And when he covered it, he didn't really cover it fully well. So I am worried, says Rebbe Yehuda, and therefore he makes a gzera. He osers across the boards. And on this gzera, so Rebbe doesn't agree. Rebbe will say that if there is an attempt to make an initial stirring, that's good enough to cancel the problem or to prevent the problem of the original piece absorbing. Rebbe Yud, on the other hand, says, I'm always going to take into consideration maybe there was initial absorption. However, regarding Efshel Lesochato and Min Bamino Lo Batil, there Rebbe does agree with Rebbe Yehuda's stringency. Omar Mar. Now the Gemara focuses on the Chachomim in that same source. V'divrei Chachomim Kishinir V'kisa. Rebbe likes the approach of the Chachomim, who are lenient, if there was stirring or covering, my nir or my kisa, well, what does it mean? What are the Chachamim talking about? Or we should say, what is Rebbe talking about when he says, I like the Chachamim under these circumstances? If you say that the nir the Chachamim are referring to is a nir, a stirring that took place only afterwards, but not initially, and a covering that was done only later, but not initially. Yeah, but under those circumstances, Rebbe already sided with Rebbe Yehuda. Ha Amris, but we said Nirin Divrei Rebbe Yehuda Baha. But regarding that case of a non-initial stirring, but only a latter stirring, a non-initial covering, but a latter covering, under those circumstances, Rebbe sided with Rebbe Yehuda. So what does it mean when Rebbe says, I like the Chachamim, their opinion of leniency with regard to Nir V'Kisa? Ela, Nir Mitchilo V'Yatzov. V'Kisa Mitchilo V'Yatzov. The Chachamim that Rebbe likes, the opinion of leniency that Rebbe is willing to follow, is in the event that there was a stirring and or a covering from the very beginning. Since there was a stirring from the very beginning, so Rebbe says, I like that opinion of leniency, that the drop never had a chance to take effect on a singular piece, but was initially mixed together with the entire pot, thereby being canceled, thereby being overwhelmed. Well, as we pointed out before, we can infer from Rebbe what the Chachamim themselves hold. Michlal de Rabbonan Safri, it must be that the Rabbonan themselves hold that nir besoivelo, nir betchila, kisa besoivelo, kisa betchila, mutter. That if there was a covering only later on, or let's say there was a stirring later on but not at the beginning, there was a covering later on but not at the beginning, giving a chance for the initial piece to absorb the milk. And that initial piece, one might have said, becomes usher. And yet the Rabbanan themselves say, even under those circumstances, everything is mutter. Well, how could that be? Almo kosavri, rather, so it must be. Therefore, we can conclude that the Rabbanan are of the opinion, Efshe l'sochato mutter. And here we have that second diamond. This is the second Tanaic approach to the issue of Efshe l'sochato. And you can see it's in disagreement with the Shita of Rabbi Huda, which was featured in our first diamond. The Rabbanan holding that the drop of milk, even though it did successfully get absorbed into a singular piece of meat, the subsequent cooking of it enables the drop of milk that entered to exit as a drop of milk, not as a forbidden substance, but to exit as a drop of milk and now get redistributed amongst all the other pieces. And that is what we refer to Efshe l'sochato mutter. And as you can see, with this we conclude our long point where we point out that the issue of Efshe l'sochato is a Tanaic controversy. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.